WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is a painful and sometimes debilitating disease, often affecting people of color. It is also a disease we've been hearing about for many decades now. September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, and it remains a major health issue for nearly 100,000 Americans. This Saturday, Howard University is hosting a sickle cell event, and we'll talk about that shortly. But first, we want to take a look at the disease, what it is, the treatments, and what, if anything, is new. My guests are Dr. James Taylor, Director of the Howard University Center for Sickle Cell Disease, and Tisha Samuels, a sickle cell health advocate who was diagnosed when she was just 3 years old. Lines are open if you have questions or comments about sickle cell disease at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHUR. FM. Dr. Taylor, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And Tisha, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can you give me a working definition, Dr. Taylor, of exactly what sickle cell disease is?
So it's a genetic disease inherited from your parents, unfortunately. And it's caused by a mutation in hemoglobin, which is the molecule that carries oxygen in your tissues. It arose in Africa eons ago because it protects against malaria if you have one copy of the mutated protein. You won't die of malaria, and that kills millions of children every year in Africa. If you inherit two copies of the mutated protein, the sickle hemoglobin forms long strands in the red cells, and they become deformed in a sickle shape, and those are very rigid, they don't survive very long, and they clog up your blood vessels. And that leads to, in many cases, debilitating pain in the simplest notion.
Interesting. Tisha, you were diagnosed at 3 years old. How old are you now?
I'm 37 years old.
You're 37. Can you talk to me briefly about your journey? Because first, how do you feel now at 37?
At 37, my quality of life is a whole lot better. And I can explain that a little bit later regarding the clinical trial that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up with the disease, as Dr. Taylor stated, it's very debilitating. Your quality of life is such that all you know is pain. When you talk about the cells being sickle-shaped, the pain that it causes not only causes that, but I was unable to breathe properly at times, was unable to get out of bed without pain medication. You just go through so many things, and you just want to be normal. And it's hard to find what that normal is on a day-to-day basis when you're dealing with so much pain and adversity from just life in general. But when you add a sickle cell to that, it just becomes unbearable.
What is your earliest memory of having challenges with sickle cell?
At the age of 7, I had what's called a aplastic anemia crisis. And that crisis actually caused me to lose my life. I was actually pronounced for a while, and then I received blood transfusions, what's called a Dr. Taylor, you may be able to
exchange
help
transfusion
bit.
Exchange or transfusion, massive transfusion.
Yes, an exchange transfusion where I just had to have all of the sickle cells removed and been given donor blood.
Wow.
That was at the age of 7.
What? Explain to me, Dr. Taylor, what is I think she really kind of simplified that. But how exactly does that work?
So somebody like Tisha is making 10 times the normal amount of red blood cells as you or I, tenfold upregulated, just to maintain half normal hemoglobin. So their bone marrow is really revved up. She got a viral infection that's very common in childhood, and you or I wouldn't even know that we had it. What happened to her is her red cells stopped being made. The virus infects those red stem cells, and she didn't make any more blood cells. Within 24 hours, your hemoglobin drops to almost nothing, and if we don't transfuse the patient immediately, as she said, you can die very rapidly.
Mm-hmm. What's the recovery from this kind of treatment?
We do this, unfortunately, all too much, taking out all the sickle cells and replacing it with transfused blood. We only do that in very severe situations like aplastic crises, severe form of pneumonia, strokes, other situations. But we do it not infrequently.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about sickle cell disease, what it is and how it impacts tens of thousands of Americans, and how it's treated and what you can also do to help eradicate it. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Ronald, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Ronald. What's on your mind?
Yes. I work at National Institute of Health, and I saw a study that someone had sickle cell, and it was a success story, at least according to the study that I read online. So I was just wondering, I'm sure the doctor is probably aware of the study out at NIH, and I just want, because I keep on hearing, as being an African American, I just keep on hearing about sickle cell, and it seems like it attacks African Americans. I don't know if it attacks Anglo-Saxons, but my question is, I talked to a lot of people about this, and they never heard of the study, and I sent them on where the study was at NIH, and they were dumbfounded. They were like, wow, they should really tell people this.
Hmm. Are you familiar with any recent studies?
So this is a multi-center trial and Tisha may know about this too. It's a gene therapy trial, putting a new hemoglobin gene in the stem cells of patients and then reinfusing those stem cells, potentially curative. To get that normal hemoglobin gene in the stem cells, you got to do it with a virus. So there are some unknowns there, and that's why it's an experiment. The experiment's being run in France right now and in the United States. And actually, there are a couple of other places across the country where similar trials are going on with gene therapy.
Mm-hmm. And while this is, it's still in the trial stage, you said?
It's absolutely in the trial.
Go right ahead, Tisha, please.
Yes. So, Ronald, I was a part of that study in 2017. I enrolled and I actually received the gene therapy transplant in March of 2018. We can't say it's a cure. They hope to say cure one day, but I am effectually sickle. I have sickle cell.
In remission.
It's correct. You know, if they draw my blood, they will see that I have the trait of sickle cell and not the disease. As Dr. Taylor said, has several centers are doing this gene therapy trial. I am actually an advocate for it because we need more patients that are willing to undergo the trial so that they can do the research.
Mm. Wow. Ronald, thank you so much for your phone call. This is fascinating to me because we often hear about medical trials and they last a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just, you know, based on, you know, information that we may hear in journals, news reports, and the like. And unfortunately, these things are inconclusive. And now it makes sense to me when Tisha just said, when she talks about how she feels now, her quality of life now compared to her life's journey. And this is just fascinating to me, Tisha. So when did you, after receiving the gene therapy, first notice a change in your quality of life, how you felt, what was happening?
I would say within the first 6 months. So I had it March 13th of 2018. And around August is when I really started to feel, it almost felt like my body was foreign to me because I hadn't felt that good ever. When your body is generating the cells that are normal, you're able to get the oxygen that the body is deprived of with sickle cell. So with that comes energy that I had never felt before. My appetite increased. So it, just being able to play with nieces and nephews in the backyard this past summer was something that I had been wanting to do for years, but always felt tired or fatigued. So I felt it. I wouldn't say immediately because, of course, your body is still trying to process what has just happened with the transplant. But when those cells start to regenerate and they're regenerating at a normal rate with normal hemoglobin, it's life-changing. It's really transformative.
And this is the really fascinating part about this. I'll bet within less than a month, her blood cells were normal, and yet there was a six-month delay for her to really feel normal in a noticeable way. And that's how severe this disease is. Just as Tisha said, she had never felt, you know, it was noticeable, the energy that she had, that she could feel the oxygen in her tissues like she'd never felt it before.
That is just,
and it takes 6 months to even notice this.
But that is such, you know, good news in that this kind of thing holds so much promise, and I have just so many questions, you know, for her, particularly as it relates to, you know, quality of life and how she's feeling and the trajectory of her life. But I'm, you know, before I go back to the phones, and this is one of the reasons why it's so important that we, at Howard University, really, you know, stand up to stamp out, you know, sickle cell. There is an event coming up this Saturday. Doctor, tell me briefly what's happening with this 5K walk run on Saturday.
So this is the 13th annual Stomp Out Sickle Cell program. I've been participating. I probably came to this in 2005 for the first time many years ago. Sponsored by Howard University Center for Sickle Cell Disease, also Faces of Our Children. It's from 8:30 to 12 at Howard University Hospital, 2041 Georgia Avenue Northwest. And it's a 5K walk run. There's a Zumba event, and there's a kid zone for those who don't want to run. But importantly, President Wayne Frederick will be running with us. And this is important because Dr. Frederick is affected by sickle cell and has been very open about his disease, how it has affected the trajectory of his life. And he will be leading those who are walking or running. And it's about, and I'd say it's about finishing. So
yeah,
if your hemoglobin is low and you have sickle cell, you want to finish, you don't want to run. We are doing this to raise awareness, as we have for the last 13 years. This is also our annual fundraiser. This year, Dr. Frederick has run a 5K every month of the year so far, and this is his ninth month of doing this. And to help us raise funds, he is selling a dry fit shirt, $20. It says, "I run to cure sickle cell." It has a big Howard University logo. It's very nice. I got one. You get a personalized letter from Dr. Frederick thanking you. And it's not just because it was me. He does it for everyone.
And, you know, that, you know, other than, you know, Dr. Frederick, you know, the Tisha Samuels of the world are some of the best, you know, advocates, not only for awareness, but also for advocacy and just sharing a great story. Because to be quite honest, you know, we've spoken about this issue on this program for many, many years. And it's always been a difficult conversation. Because you're talking about, you know, so many people who have been impacted, people who we don't know, and then, you know, some very high profile people. And I would like to say that what Tisha has shared with us thus far has really kind of raised, you know, my hopes.
Absolutely.
This. And I need to take a break. But before I do, I want to let Anthony from D.C. know that we're going to talk to him shortly. Also, we're going to talk to Alma calling from Fort Washington, Maryland. So please do not hang up. We're going to take your phone calls. And if you're trying to get through and you're still having difficulty, please keep trying. I will be taking your phone calls even after 7:30. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. I hope you're just as excited as I am about the news that Tisha is sharing with us. I have a million questions for you, Tisha, but stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown tonight with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We continue this conversation 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month, and we continue our look at sickle cell disease, what it is, and the treatments. My guests are Dr. James Taylor, Director of the Howard University Center for Sickle Cell Disease, and Tisha Samuels, a sickle cell health advocate who was diagnosed with the disease when she was just 3 years old. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alma calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Alma, are you there?
Yes.
Go right ahead, please.
Good evening. Hi. I just wanted to share that I have sickle cell disease. I was diagnosed at 6 weeks old, and I am currently 59 years old. I have studied in many clinical trials at NIH and even a few at Howard. I'd like to congratulate Dr. Taylor on his team, and I'd like to congratulate Tisha on the cure that she has received. I've had many challenges, and you just learn to live with them. But due to the many treatments that I have been able to receive and the trials I participated in, I've had a better quality of life. And I just wanted to thank Dr. Taylor again, who I was a patient of a few years ago, for the efforts that they've made in focusing on cures and treatments for sickle cell disease. I also thank Howard for bringing awareness to the community, because it's a disease that was forgotten about many, many years ago, and until recently, the disease has come to the forefront, and funds are being made available, and more people are interested in curing and fighting the disease.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that it's been a long year. I was not expected to live past the age of 18, but by the grace of God, I have been able to participate in many trials and treatments.
Well, let me see if you know, obviously, if Dr. Taylor wants to say a word. Thank you so much for your phone call, Alma. Dr. Taylor.
How are you, Alma?
I'm good.
Good to hear your voice. I think this is really important. People like Tisha and Alma are leading this because they're putting everything on the line by participating in trials. This is very important. If we don't do these experiments, we're never going to move beyond the disease and the way we treat it. So what we're doing now today in 2019 still isn't working. It's like it's 1972. We have a few drugs, but they're not cures.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to really do these experiments, just like these two women are.
Alma, thank you so much, and good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Anthony, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Anthony. What's on your mind?
Yes. I just want to say good evening to all of y'all, and I was also a recipient of the transplant at National Institute of Health, NIH.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been through it three times. I was the first male to go through it when the trials first started in, I want to say, 2006. Then I went through it again, I want to say, in 2007. And then, I mean, the second one, we thought it was a real good one, but, you know, sickle cell came back. And I went through it again in 2017, December, and every time it was the medicine and the way they did it was different. I was diagnosed with it at the age of 6 months. Also, I haven't had not one crisis. I haven't had any pain. I haven't had anything happen to me since 2017. I'm going into my third year of being out of transplant.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I can honestly say in the past 3 years of my life that, I mean, it has been wonderful, wonderful. I'd really like to thank Dr. Tisdale and his team from NIH, Dr. John Tisdale. And, I mean, I'm sitting here listening to the rest of the stories. Like, I have countless blood transfusions, blood exchanges, pain medication. I mean, and just to be able to not have to deal with any of that in the past 3 years, I mean, it's been wonderful. I mean, I've had other problems. I've had pneumonia, double pneumonia, kidney gallstones, my spleen been removed. Right now I'm in the process of writing a book about the whole situation. I just wanted to chime in because this is something that's really touched my heart, you know. It's always been close to me. Well, and everybody who has commented, I appreciate.
Well, Anthony, let me see what Dr. Taylor has to say, and also what Tisha has to say as well.
Anthony's treatment is a little bit different. It wasn't gene therapy. He received a bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
So he had a brother or sister who was a match, and that brings up a really big health disparity. It turns out that only about 1% of sickle cell patients in this country receive a bone marrow transplant. But by the numbers, you would expect that maybe 16 or maybe even 20% should be getting transplants. Doctors like myself are not asking these people, do you have a brother and sister? And then they're not doing the test to see if they're a match, because if they are, people like Anthony could be cured.
Mm-hmm. And that's really good information. And when you talk about issues of disparity, and we've discussed that for quite some time. And so, you know, for those who are hearing this conversation who have sickle cell, that's a question if the doctors aren't asking you that you can ask the doctors.
That's right.
Yeah. Anthony, thank you so much. I want to drill down a little bit more about the gene therapy that Tisha went through. What was the therapy like? What happened when you went in for the trial? What was the procedure? Tisha, can you hear me? Are you still there?
Her aunt is still here.
I'm sorry. Are you still? Oh, I think we may have.
Okay. What Tisha underwent. This is what they do is they'll ferrate your stem cells out of your body.
Say that again.
They remove stem cells from your body.
Okay.
We used to do it by putting a needle in your bone marrow space. We don't do it that way anymore. You're hooked up to a machine where we give you a drug that causes your stem cells to go into your peripheral blood. We circulate that through the machine, and we harvest the stem cells. The stem cells go to the laboratory. We infect it with a virus, and that virus has the normal hemoglobin gene in it. And we select the cells that have the normal gene in it, and then we give you a bone marrow transplant. By wiping out your bone marrow and give you back your own bone marrow, but it's now manipulated with this new gene. Mm-hmm. And as a safety, they save some of your own stem cells just in case something happens and we need to recover your bone marrow. We've got your unmanipulated stem cells in the laboratory frozen away.
Is this a painful or uncomfortable procedure?
I think that's a question for Tisha. To do an ablative transplant, we've got to give you chemotherapy. That's a type of bone marrow. That's where we wipe out your bone marrow with drugs and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
That is not terribly pleasant. It's like getting – it is cancer chemotherapy in those doses.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe the process, Tisha?
I would describe the process as painful. The medication, as Dr. Taylor stated, that they give you for chemo is not friendly at all to the body. And so I had a lot of upper gastric issues with talking, with swallowing. And that went on for maybe a few weeks. But the way I thought about it is if I have lived with this illness for 36 years, which is so painful. And I was, like I said, I was having painful episodes almost every day. It was so hard for me to get out of bed. Then I can deal with this for a few weeks if it's going to help me get to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time that I decided to go through with this transplant, I felt like I was out of options.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like this was God's way of giving me the healing that I had been asking him for.
Are there age restrictions for this kind of experimental work?
Yes, absolutely. So when you're doing experimental work like this, you're striking a balance between those who are very severely affected. So people who are very functional, who don't have less pain, they probably wouldn't qualify for the trial. But you also don't want people who are very, very sick with kidney disease or other problems that could complicate the experiment. You kind of want an ideal patient.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because she said she's 37. And so, you know, I was kind of wondering.
The upper limit is, I'd have to look it up, but it's probably not above 40 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of chime in there.
Please do.
At the time that I signed up for the study, 35 was the cutoff. And as far as age limit, and I was 35 when I signed on. However, I just went for my 18-month checkup post-transplant on Tuesday. And the new protocol there allows the age to go up to, goes down to 12, and I believe 45. Is the age cutoff.
What about on the other side, younger people?
So younger people, we never start with young children,
mm-hmm.
just because of the risks and because they can't give what we call informed consent.
Of course.
As Tisha knows, they went through in exquisite detail exactly what the risk benefits and that this really is an experiment. So young children, we don't start there, but as the safety is demonstrated, that's why you're seeing the age go down to 12 and the
right.
age rise up higher.
Let me go back to the phone lines. A lot of folks on the line to talk about this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kimberly calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Kimberly. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tisha Samuels is my niece, and I am so proud that she is doing this interview. Actually, she was raised as my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to say from a family standpoint is that when she first decided to do this trial, the family, we had a very hard time dealing with that because she was really putting what we thought her body up to science. So when you talk about heroes, and I'm older than her, she's our hero because what she said before she went in to even do this trial, if I die doing this, then I will die knowing that I'm one step closer to saving someone else's life. And God spared her. So I am so proud to hear my niece sister, that's what I call her, my sister niece, on the radio spreading the word that for us as black people, because they have named this as a African-American disease, my niece sacrificed her body to make our lives better. I was blessed not to get the trait. I have four sisters, two with the trait, two without. I have three healthy, beautiful children, and she's the godmother of all three. And I swear for the Lord, I'm glad that God has put her on this radio station for her to tell other people there is hope. I'm proud of you, Tisha, and I love you.
Did you hear that, Tisha?
Yes, thank you, Kimmy.
You know I'm crying right now. You know I'm crying. You know I'm crying. The kids in the car with me, we all cry. But yeah, so I hope I'm not embarrassing you on the radio, but I could not call in and say a lot of times people don't know what the family go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot on the family as well, but we don't have a drop on what these sickle cell patients have to deal with. I have aches and pains every day, but I've seen my niece have to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to move again from the time she was 4 years old. And she's one of the brightest, smartest people. And all she did was go up to be a nurse.
Wow.
And take care of other people till she couldn't no more. And now she worked with people trying to get their lives better. So it is a way for anybody out there that got sickle cell. Don't be down on yourself. If she can do it, anybody can do it. She's my hero. She's my Wonder Woman.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And to put a fine point on it, I do want to talk about what this really means, not just for Tisha, but for other people who are looking for hope beyond the difficulties of this disease. So thank you so much. I need to take a break. And again, Kimberly, let the tears flow.
Yes, it's okay.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Cynthia, and we're going to talk to Dr. Taylor about the other treatments for those who may not be eligible for trials, even as we wait to find out what happens in the years to come. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Let me go to the phone lines again. Cynthia calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Cynthia. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a dual question for the doctor. A family member was recently diagnosed with sickle cell, but they have sickle cell C. What I want to know, what's the difference between the sickle cell C and the sickle cell?
So there are different types of sickle cell disease.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Tisha has SS or sickle cell mm-hmm. anemia. Hemoglobin
right.
SC is the next most common. It's about 15% of the patients across the country, about 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
C is a different hemoglobin mutation, similar but different. And it results mm-hmm. in a little milder disease, a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Okay. Now, my next question is, when they're testing, when they're doing the PKUs on babies and testing for the sickle cell, do they not test for the hemoglobin C?
What is PKU?
PKU is another genetic disease. It's on newborn screens. We test for a variety of genetic diseases right at birth. Yes, we do test for hemoglobin C, so you should know if you have hemoglobin C trait. That's my point to everyone who is of African descent. You don't have to be African American. You just have to have ancestors that were from Africa. That puts you at risk for having sickle mutation, hemoglobin C trait, something like that. Get tested. If you have a trait and your partner has a trait and you're planning on having kids, come and talk to somebody like me or a genetic counselor. They can be mm-hmm. a wealth of information and provide you with options. We test for all of these things on newborn screens, and it's every child in the country is tested for this.
Okay. And and I'm going to go. This is my last question.
Go ahead.
If the hemoglobin C falls under the radar, okay, then with the hemoglobin, doing a hemoglobin electrophoresis, will that pick up everything as far as the sickle cell disease and trait?
I'm really getting a medical education here. What was the term that she used?
Hemoglobin electrophoresis. It's okay. A test that was first done in 1949 by Linus Pauling when he discovered that sickle hemoglobin migrates differently through an electric field than regular hemoglobin, and there was a chemical difference. Yes, you can detect all of those with hemoglobin electrophoresis or any of the other techniques that we use today, but you need to see a specialist who really knows this stuff in and out. State of Maryland newborn screening program is outstanding in this area.
Cynthia, thank you so much for your phone call and helping to educate me. So I appreciate your phone call. For those who are not in clinical trials and those who are still experiencing the severe discomfort and debilitating pain, how is this disease treated for them to give them the maximum amount of comfort?
So we have two Food and Drug Administration approved drugs. That means that they actually work and they reduce painful events. One is called hydroxyurea. It causes baby hemoglobin to go up, and baby hemoglobin inhibits that sickling reaction so that your red cells stay nice and round. Is it a cure? No. But instead of being in the hospital 10 times a year, if you take it and it's managed well by a doctor, you might be in the hospital one time a year. Does it work for everyone? No, it doesn't. So we have another drug. It's called L-glutamine. It's an amino acid. It's a precursor for something that's an antioxidant. What do antioxidants do? They prevent rust. What are red cells full of? Water, oxygen, and iron. You put those three things together, you get rust. That's oxidation. It destroys the red cell. So the L-glutamine goes into the red cells, is converted into this antioxidant, and that reduces painful events and keeps the red cells nice and round.
Tisha, when you now think about how you're feeling this change that this trial has to date provided for you, when you look at what you hope for the rest of your life, what do you see?
Well, one of the things, and that's why I feel so honored to actually be on this show with you. I was admitted into Howard University in the fall of 2000 and with the hopes of becoming a nurse. And I was unable to finish my schooling there because of so many painful crises. So one of the things that I'm hoping to be able to do is to return to school now that I'm getting some type of normalcy to my life and I have the energy to not only go to class but to study. I'm working full time, but those are some of the goals that I have for myself, as well as doing things like this. I really want to get the word out about the excitement within the within doctors, advocates, nurses. The community is really rallying around sickle cell disease, which excites me because I didn't feel that excitement when I was going through this disease every single day. I actually felt alone, and even though I knew there were other people suffering with sickle cell, sometimes they can be a lonely feeling. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is just advocate, get the word out about the new medications that are on the horizon, as well as some of these clinical trials, and get people excited about clinical trials and signed up.
And that's the thing that I did want to mention, because also on this program, we have over the years talked about the difficulty of getting people of color to participate in clinical trials. And I would argue this, because sickle cell disease has been around for so very long, almost always impacting, people of color, people in the African-American community. If this trial proves to be successful, I cannot imagine the impact that this would have on bringing people of color into the clinical trials for other kinds of debilitating or even deadly diseases.
Absolutely. And like my Aunt Kim said in regards to the family, I think a lot of times the African-American community shies away from things that are foreign to them, meaning because they don't know the outcome, they are a little leery of it. But I, as I explained to my family, the Tylenol that we take, it had to go through some type of clinical trial. Someone had to say, I will try this to see if it works before it became available on your drugstore shelf. So I took the same approach. If I don't go through it to see if it works or not, then who will? So we just need to be educated, and we just need people who are willing to say, like I did, enough is enough. I'm willing to try it, but it has proved to be such a life changer, and I'm just thanking God every single day that I had this opportunity.
Dr. Taylor, I'll let you have the last word.
Well, I would echo that, too. I would say from my perspective, you have to have a doctor that you trust. Hopefully, my patients trust me. I'm a straight shooter when I talk about research, risk, benefit, unproven. Somebody's got to do it. It's an experiment. And I'm very clear about that. But if you don't trust your doctor and they're not forthcoming with this, I offer a lot of things to people. Don't force them to do it, but give them that information and say, you know, some of my pulse, I'd say, you ought to really do this. This looks really promising. And we need people to take those risks.
Mm. Well, I just want to say, again, you know, Tisha, congratulations. I hope that you continue to feel better, to be healthy. You are, you know, the test pilot for this medical moonshot.
And we want to see you back in nursing school because yeah. I think you'll have a perspective on caring for people that is unbelievable.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that your aunt.
Yes.
Yeah, Kimberly called, and I hope that she at least pulled over so everybody could get themselves together.
Absolutely. You and me both hope that, yes.
Well, again, God bless you. And, you know, Tisha, you know, many, many years of good health to you. And Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for coming.
Congratulations,
really
Tisha.
Thank you both.
And don't forget, Stomp Out Sickle Cells 5K Run Walk. It's Saturday, September 21st. I'm going to be there in front of Howard University Hospital, bright and early at 8:30. Howard University's president, Dr. Wayne Frederick, will also be there, so we're going to be there to cheer him on as well. Hope to see you there. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.